Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
My name is Craig Ferguson. The name of this podcast is Joy. I talk to interesting people about what brings them happiness. Weird Al Yankovic. If you don't love Weird Al Yankovic, I have one question for you. How long have you been in Al-Qaeda? Here he is.
I feel like you know.
I've done shows where like half an hour in. Like, is this the show?
Are we doing the show? No, we are doing the show. It's all right. So you know, sit up straight.
Okay.
Don't do anything stupid. Don't
I'll
mention
use my radio voice.
Yeah, use your radio voice. Don't mention anything that'll get you or me canceled. Or maybe you do. I think that it's now come full circle, and you have to say something that gets you canceled. So that you're participating.
If you don't get canceled every decade or so, people wonder what's wrong with you.
Well, yeah, you get canceled. I don't know if that actually is a thing, that you get canceled.
Does anybody really get canceled? I mean...
Yeah, I think a couple of people got canceled. I mean, but they were like really, really bad
people. Really one, yeah.
Yeah, they were like jail canceled.
Yes, but when you're jail canceled.
Yeah, jail canceled. That's like the gold standard of canceled. So, listen to me. And say nothing until I finish.
Okay, no, I'm listening.
No, listen to me. It's lovely to see you. I haven't seen you since, oh my God, since maybe Scotland.
Was it that long? Yeah, I guess it might have been.
It might have been. Oh no, maybe you know what? I think I saw you, maybe I saw you in my house in LA. I was getting a tattoo and you came to have a look because you'd never seen anyone get a tattoo.
Not up close.
Which I have to say, Al, as someone who has the rock and roll credentials you have, you're lacking a lot in tattoos.
I'm not a big fan of needles, you know. Well, I just actually like an hour ago got my COVID booster and flu shot. So
Bill Gates knows you're here then.
Well, I don't know which one I got. I either got the one where Bill Gates is going to be controlling my mind, or I got the one where my 5G phone is going to turn me into a zombie. So I'm not sure which one I got.
I'd only just heard about that. The theory about that noise on your phone goes off and it triggers your COVID.
Yeah.
it turns you into a thing.
Uh-huh.
I like that as
a
theory.
That's pretty cool. They think of all the cool stuff.
It's so creative.
Yeah.
It's lovely. But I will say this. I got my COVID jabs in Scotland, so I think it won't work on me. I think if mine goes off, I turn into fat bastard.
Once you
something.
Cross the border, it's all bets are off.
Did you get COVID?
I did, yeah. I was so very, very careful, but we toured last year for 6 months, and I think I was the first one to get COVID.
You got it, and then you infected the whole band.
Yeah, no. We all just took turns. We all, thankfully, nobody got, no, not more than one person in the band got COVID at the same time, but we all took turns.
Well, I think that's very professional.
It was a very professional way to approach the
band. I think we could all have learned from that. What do you call your band? Just the Weird Al Band?
Yeah, I mean, I call them Jim, Steve, and John and Ruben.
I guess, but collective noun for the band, just the band?
Yeah, Al's band. You know, for a while we were changing the name of the band every tour, like back when Dare to Be Stupid was the album, they were the Stupid Band.
Right.
Or, you know, it's just like a theme for the album, but we gave up on that.
look, I have a name for a band, and I think you can have it if you think it will work.
For free?
Yeah.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Colon Floss.
Colon Floss?
Colon Floss, yeah. What do you think? Is it too much?
You know, I'm gonna put that in my back pocket and
near?
And stick a pin in it as yeah. well.
See what you did. See what you did. Now listen, you've been on tour. I was talking to Suzanne, your lovely lady wife, about this. You've been on tour a lot, like for the past like 30 years.
Continually, yeah.
Pretty much, right?
Well, a lot, yeah.
Do you still love it?
I do. You know, it's my favorite part of what I do. I mean, I don't like being away from my loved ones.
Well, you take them with you.
They do. Now that we're empty nesting, my wife and I actually, my wife joined me on the entire last leg of the tour because we did Australia and Europe and Hawaii, and she thought, oh, that might be fun. So she got to actually tour with me. So that was nice.
So was your daughter in college now?
She is, yeah. She's on the East Coast.
I can't believe that. I'm so old.
She used to be a baby.
I know.
And now she's in college.
I've got one of them that used to be a baby and is finished college.
Wow.
And then the other one used to be a baby and is at school and is a teenager.
Ooh. That's pretty rough.
You know, the teenager thing, what were you like as a teenager? Were you rebellious?
Well, not as such. I mean, I was, you know, you've heard my song White and Nerdy. That was me.
Yeah.
I graduated high school when I was 16 as the valedictorian, so I was one of those straight-A nerds that people like to beat up at recess.
Wait, so you were bullied?
A little. I mean, you know, I didn't literally get beat up all the time, but
Walters on you right now. I'm going to do it, Al. So it's like, no, Al, you were bullied, right?
It's true. It's a repressed memory. It's all coming back now.
So you were bullied in that because. We've talked about this, and it's about every single time I talk to you in a recording format, we talk about Eat It. Because mm-hmm. it was my first exposure to Weird Al Yankovic. I was in a cab in New York. I was very, very affected by the narcotics that I had fairly recently to the cab ride starting. And I heard Eat It, and it was the cab driver I remember was Egyptian.
Mm-hmm.
And when you sang, have a banana, have a whole bunch, it doesn't matter what you've had for lunch. He had to pull over. We were both laughing so hard. And I don't think, he'd been taking some narcotics. I had certainly had a lot more narcotics. But, you know, it was dangerous, Al. People could have got hurt.
I don't hold myself liable for any of that. I had my record label sign a waiver that if anybody is sending traffic accidents.
It's an interesting world you've carved for yourself, though, because it's not like, who's the new Weird Al or who was the Weird Al before Weird Al? It's just Weird Al. I mean,
you know, for a while I was getting pitched a bunch of TV. There's a period of time where I literally had six different production companies say, we want you to host a show called Find the New Weird Al.
No.
You know, one of these reality shows. And I was like, why would I want to do that? I'm already and still and continue to be Weird Al.
Yeah.
Why do we want a new Weird Al?
But it seems so strange to me because I feel that's rude. But was that like Simon Cowell? You can tell me. Was it Simon Cowell?
It might have been. I don't know.
But he sounds to me like he would do a try and find America's new Weird Al.
Right.
How did you get the name Weird Al?
It was something that was kind of foisted on me in college. I think my freshman year in the dorms in college.
Is it ironic because you're not weird?
Well, no, I think, you know, they thought I was weird because I would
You are a little weird. That's what I was going to say. It's come full circle. It's like drinking yourself sober.
Right.
It's like, he's not weird. We'll call him weird, but you actually are weird.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would be roaming around the halls of my dorm and people would say, oh, who's that? Oh, it's just Weird Al.
Weird Al.
Yeah. And then I just took it on as a radio name professionally.
Now, I'm going to ask you something about this because you strike me as someone who should have gone through a goth period. But I don't think did you?
A goth period?
Yeah, you should have been a goth, man.
There's still time.
Yeah, well, that's kind of where I was going with this. I feel like I didn't become a goth either, and we could do goth things together, like hang out and be in a bad mood.
You had your punk phase.
I had punk, yeah, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know anything about it. Shut up, Dad, I hate you. But what I'm saying is we could wear black lipstick and hang out.
I would love that.
And go to I just, where we record this place is right next to the Museum of Death.
Oh, I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, it's a museum right nearby, and it's called the Museum of
Death.
Like
a graveyard?
No, I don't think so. I'm too scared to go in.
I think they should rebrand graveyards as Museums of Death.
Right. There's a road sign in a town that I drive into in Scotland sometimes, and it says retail park, and it points to the left, and cemetery, and it points to the right. And every time we drive by, Megan, who you know, my wife, always says, buying it, bought it, buying it, bought it. So listen, you leave school at 16, having been horribly bullied.
Hell, let's go with that.
Yeah,
sure.
You weren't really, were you? This was in LA though, right?
Yeah, yeah. Linwood. Linwood Knights. Woo, represent.
No, Linwood. I lived in LA for over 20 years. I've never even heard of Linwood.
Linwood, I went to the same high school as Suge Knight. And who else? Mark.
How's he doing?
He never calls. He never writes. I'm worried sick about him.
Are you in the school hall of fame?
I didn't know schools had halls of fame.
I didn't know either. But I was talking to Yvette Nicole Brown about it. Now, this will annoy you as much as it annoyed me. Yvette Nicole Brown went to the same school as Arsenio Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And their school has a hall of fame. And they have a hall, which, you know, like the gym, the gymnasium is a hall. And they named the hall. Now, remember, Arsenio Hall went to this
I'm with you.
Yvette Nicole Brown Hall. And I'm like, you had
Arsenio
Hall. Oh my God.
And it should have been Arsenio Hall Hall.
Arsenio Hall Hall is what I said.
And just Hall Hall.
Right. And then you could have Yvette Nicole Brown, you know.
Something else.
Staff toilet or something. But
janitorial closet.
I mean, she can, you know, she's a magnificent human being. But
something else, but a hall. Come on.
The hall, if you have Arsenio Hall.
I mean, I love Yvette, but come on.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, that was when I found out schools have halls of fame, but yours doesn't, right?
Because maybe it's a secret one.
What?
Like maybe you have to be in a guild or
maybe just you're not in it. It's Suge's in it and you're not in it. That's probably what happened. So, did you graduate school at 16?
I did, yeah. So I started high school when I was 12.
Wow.
Yeah.
You like some like Doogie Howser shit?
I know. I mean, I think my parents had me start kindergarten a year before they should have. And then in second grade, they thought I was too advanced. So they just brought me right into third grade. So my whole youth, I was like 2 years younger than most of my classmates.
That's kind of interesting because that's going to make you feel like a little bit of an outsider. Did you feel like an outsider, Al?
Well, yes, I did. But I don't think it was totally because of my age. Because, like I said, I was pretty nerdy and I was pretty, awkwardly and not very social. So I think even if I was the same age, I still would have kind of stood out and not really fit in.
Yeah, I think that's possibly true. And the thing is about it as well. I think maybe a lot of people don't know this about you. You're very techie. Aren't you? I mean, you're very knowledgeable about particularly musical stuff is what I'm going to say. Like, do you keep up on like all the like synth technology and the like super like, what do they call that thing again? Auto beep or something.
Autoerotic.
Autoerotic massage. I think that's is that a musical thing? It seems to be actually. It's done away with a few musicians for sure. Would it be terrible though? If I was going to do that, and I'm not saying I haven't, but I haven't done it today.
Yes.
But if I was going to do that, I'd be scared, you know.
Well, you should be.
Oh, yeah.
It's so not I'm safe.
I don't like to feel scared when I'm on my own.
You should not feel that way.
All right, let's get the hell off of this. So if you graduate high school at 16, what happens? Did you go to college?
I did. I went to the California Polytechnic State University at San Luis Obispo.
Wow, that's a catchy one.
You know, t-shirts are 3 feet wide to get the whole name on there.
Wow. San Luis Obispo.
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 Yeah.
Is that where they have that hotel that's the
Yes,
all
they
the
have a hotel with, there.
Yeah, but it's got, what's it called?
Madonna's Inn.
The Madonna Inn, yeah.
Have you been there?
I have. Have you?
Oh, that's the, you know, tourist attraction in San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, I went to I think I stayed in the Flintstones room.
Oh, the caveman room.
Right, caveman
room. There's like a three-year waiting list for that room. You must be like important or something.
No, this was way back in the day. This is before the internet had snuck up on the Madonna Inn. Uh-huh. But there's the other one. Have you stayed there?
I think one time when the band played San Luis Obispo, I think they arranged to actually have us stay at the Madonna Inn, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, do you remember what room you were in?
Not the caveman room. I wasn't quite that special.
That's maybe the night I was staying in. I don't know. It was for a whole event I was doing on my own about autoerotic cave dwelling.
Yes.
So, what did you study at college?
Architecture.
Now, see, what the hell?
What was I doing?
I don't know. Are you still into architecture?
You know, not so much. I mean, I appreciate a good building, but, it, you know...
What kind do you like? Do you like a brutalist, you know, German Bauhaus type thing?
I like kind of brown ones, brown buildings. And
you would have been a terrible architect.
I was the worst.
Yeah, because you guys said, what kind of building are you going to put up? Well, brown one. I think this needs a brown one. Can we see a drawing? Yeah, come on. But yeah. The reason I say about the techie stuff is because you do the best birthday cards in the world. Anybody who's a friend of yours, that you do the greatest, greatest birthday card.
Oh, thank you.
And no, thank you. And I showed the last one you did for me, which was sensational. And I showed it to my youngest son. And he was like, Liam, who you've met, of course. And he was like, oh my God, that must have taken him weeks to do that. And I was like, yeah, I think it probably did. But it didn't. Al did it.
It did, but I have to confess, you're not the only person I sent that card to.
I knew it. I
changed the names for the other people, though.
But so it's a kind of like super high tech jib jab thing.
It is. You know, it's I guess we'll give them a plug. It's American Greetings,
right?
And it's a birthday card. People think, oh, it's AI. They had you like doing like all these different names. You like they made your mouth move and made the word.
Right.
No, it's old school. I literally had to go through like over 1,000 names
to do that.
And every single age and every, you know, so I had to, you know, there are like two different times when I mentioned somebody's name. So I had to go twice through the entire scene with 1,000 names. It was a lot of work.
Why did you do this? I mean, because a card is fine.
Well, you know, I just wanted to freak you out.
It freaked me out. Right? Yeah. When I got it, I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. I'm not illiterate in the world of tech, but I'm like, I have no idea how he did this. I have genuinely no idea. And I remember years ago, you might not remember this, but when I was on the Drew Carey show, I played Drew's English boss,
of course,
Mr. Wick. And you came on the show and you did a like a rap video type thing with Drew. Do you remember this?
A rap video? I was joining Drew's band at the very end or something like that. They need another accordion player.
Yeah, it was but didn't you do some kind of like, it looked like a kind of 90s rap thing. I can't remember, but
you're probably confusing me. So the main thing I remember about doing the Drew Carey show was it was right after I had my LASIK surgery, so I wasn't doing the glasses and the mustache anymore.
Oh.
And the producers insisted that I have the glasses and the mustache because otherwise, how are they going to know it's weird?
You know, they did the same with Drew. Drew on that show, he got LASIKs and he lost like 40 pounds. And they used to wear a fat suit.
The last
few seasons, Drew was like, he's coming in like, I got to get a fat suit on and put the glasses on.
Oh,
and
wow.
So they knew it was Drew Carey, but he had lost the weight.
I don't feel so bad now. I didn't have to wear a fat suit.
I wasn't English either. I had to pretend to be English. It was a mess. It was a mess that
continuity.
Show.
Continuity. You
got to do it.
Yeah.
You know how you can make your summer vacation better? Is with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding and loungewear. It's like being at home, but also going away. It's great. And now you can get 35% off. You can get the unmatched softness. It's really as buttery smoothness of Cozy Earth's bedding. It's better than the finest hotels, and you get a really good night's sleep on your travels. And that's important. It's travel friendly. It's hassle free. Cozy Earth's bedding comes in adorable totes, making it the perfect companion for your adventures near and far. You can stay cool and comfy during long flights, and you know what that's like, with the Cozy Earth temperature regulating bamboo joggers and pullover crew. Makes you look cool when you're traveling. I like it. Well, as cool as I can look when I'm traveling. So discover your next destination for ultimate comfort at Cozy Earth. Visit cozyearth.com and use our code JOY at checkout and you'll get 35% off. And let them know we sent you after the checkout. Promo code JOY. 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 This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Look, everybody has stuff that stresses them out and annoys them, and I'm no different from anybody else. For example, I get very irritated that people that wear shoes that look like feet. That's not a big deal, but it's a big deal to me. Obviously, there are much more important things to get worried about. Get them off your chest. When you keep them bottled up, it starts to affect you negatively. Now, therapy is a safe place to do that. That's what I did. And you figure out what's going on with you, work it through, and then let it go. Let it go, you see, that's what I think. I've done a lot of therapy, and I have to say I'm a very satisfied customer. If you think I'm kind of tense now, You should have seen me before I started. I really do recommend it. If you can do it, you should do it. If you're thinking of starting therapy, I'd suggest giving BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, it's flexible, and it's suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with, you know, a licensed therapist, a proper one, and then you can switch your therapist at any time for no additional charge. I just think it's a good idea. Give it a shot. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/joypod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/joypod.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Did you ever do a sitcom for any length of time?
Not any length of time. No, I did some animated stuff. I was Milo Murphy in Milo Murphy's Law, but I was never in any kind of live action.
Right, okay.
Sitcom.
So, let me ask you this. You're in doing architecture. Did you graduate as an architect?
I did. Got my degree. I could design your house tomorrow. So, very, very, very badly.
So, really?
Yeah.
I never knew this about you. I don't know why I don't know this, but I've known you for quite a long time. I didn't know you were an architect.
Well, I'm not. I have a degree. That is, I'm being an architect. I think there's a few other steps you have to go through before you.
You didn't actually practice.
No.
You never did. Did you? What about any of your houses that you live in? Have you ever designed them?
No.
What about shelving? Did you even design a shelving unit or something?
You know, I will say I designed a couple of my bathroom remodels.
Okay, fair enough. That doesn't make you an architect either. You know, it just makes you a guy who goes to the bathroom.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the Cerise closets would be nice.
Yes.
They would be lovely. So what happened? You graduate as an architect, but radio is what you love, right?
Yeah, I just, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do when I graduated. I didn't think I'd have a career in showbiz or anything like that, but I figured, like, right. I graduated when I was, like, what, 19, 20, and I figured, actually, my senior year in college, Capitol Records put out My Bologna because I recorded that in the bathroom across the hall from my campus radio station.
Right.
But yeah, it was, and I still didn't think like, oh, this is what I'm going to be doing for the next 40 years. But I thought, well, you know what? I've got a single on Capitol Records. I might as well knock on some doors and see if I can like make anything out of this kooky career thing.
There wasn't like a plan then. It just kind of, you followed the hood of the car and it took you where it was going.
pretty much.
I think that's great, though.
You know, I was a fan of the Dr. Demento show and he was giving me a lot of exposure.
Now talk to me about Dr. Demento because I'm illiterate in the world of Dr. Demento.
Okay.
Other than what I've seen portrayed fictionally. So you have to talk me through what that is because it's a real cult thing in LA, right?
You have to join a cult to listen to the show, yes.
Right. Well, there's a few cults in LA, and I get that. But this particular one, and it was a real cult favorite, right?
Oh, yeah. So, Dr. Demento, whose real name is Barry Hanson, he was on KMET in Los Angeles for decades.
So this is like a local radio station.
Yeah.
Right?
It's local, but his show became so popular that it became syndicated nationwide.
Right.
And I think maybe around the world a little bit, but mostly in North America. But he got famous for playing all sorts of comedy and novelty and just weird stuff from his personal record collection. He had a huge, huge record collection at home. Wherever at his house, like you go to his kitchen, open the cupboards, they're full of records. They're just records everywhere.
Vinyl, right?
Vinyl, yeah. And he collects everything now, but he has a huge, huge vinyl collection.
Where you first heard, it may have been how I first heard, is it Bobby Pickett and the Crypt Kickers?
Monster Mash? Yeah.
Yeah, which is still one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
That's a great song.
Yeah, that was a big, like a top 40 radio hit. So I'm not sure if I heard that on Demento or just on KHJ or whatever it was.
Right, like one of the big guns.
But yeah, I mean, that's where I got exposed to like Spike Jonze and Alan Sherman and Tom Lehrer and Stan Freberg and all these people. And I thought, wow, well, maybe.
It's a real world, though, that it was kind of a, I'm not going to say it's niche because it's too big for that, but it was a world which existed outside of the mainstream, right?
I mean,
you were the guy who kind of brought it mainstream, really, weren't you? I mean, you kind of broke out of the kind of the subterranean, weird record listening world to... My Bologna was probably the one that did it, right?
Yeah, that was the first one for sure. I mean, Dr. Demento played, again, all sorts of his personal records, but I was one of the few people that was just like sending him unsolicited material in the mail.
Right.
And he'd play that, and that was, yeah, it was definitely a breakout because it kind of lit up the request lines, as they say, and all of a sudden... Oh, like, God,
that's so cute, the request lines and all. Isn't that like... Simpler times, Al.
Simpler times.
So in this world that you're in, it seems like it was simpler times. How do you approach it now? Do you have like the tickety talk and the Instagram and the?
I got some of that. I'm still ostensibly on Twitter, although I haven't really, you know.
I think
Twitter doesn't really exist anymore, does it? I think some other. It's like
definitely been declawed for sure. It's something's happened.
Yeah. So I'm you know, I don't know if I'm slow quitting or I just haven't posted in a while, but I'm theoretically still on Twitter, but mostly Instagram. I'm on Blue Sky. And I'm on Threads. I don't know.
What about Bingo? Do you know that one?
Bingo? No.
No, Bingo. It's a new one. I just like made it up.
I like it though.
Yeah,
I would join.
Yeah, Bingo.
I'll sign up.
Can you Bingo me? Sure.
Yeah, I'll Bingo right now.
And if you get a good one you like, you go, it's a Bingo. And then you do memes of Christopher Christopher Waltz.
Yes,
Christopher Waltz.
Yes.
He says it in Inglorious Bastards, right? Yeah. It's a Bingo.
It's a Bingo.
As a Nazi. Nazi bingo, everybody. So when you're in this world, like you move out of this rather kind of sweet, nerdy world of architecture, comedy, songs, but then you become kind of you get drawn into the world of rock music, which is slightly less innocent. Do you hear the siren call of Black Tower Heroin or...
So much. I mean, I don't know if it's my reputation preceding me, but it's like I don't think I ever really got like offered drugs on the road or at parties.
Nobody even offered you drugs?
No, so rude.
Yeah, that is. I feel bad. If I'd have been around then, I would certainly have offered
Thank
you some
you,
of
Craig.
Mine.
Oh, my goodness. I appreciate that.
That's shocking. I'm my fellow addicts and
at least
alcoholics.
Offer me drugs so I can be offended and say no.
offended is Margaret Dumont in the Marx Brothers movies.
I beg your pardon.
But so you were walking around dressed as Margaret Dumont with a big dress on, and it never called to you that wildness, or were you scared of it, or were you
doing
just,
drugs?
Well, just the kind of, because it was a particularly wild and kind of debauched era of rock, wasn't it?
Well, I guess. I mean, it depends what circles you travel in. I mean,
I guess. Yeah.
You know, I did promise my parents that I wouldn't do drugs, so I didn't.
Look, we all did that.
Yeah.
But I mean...
And I was just afraid that drugs would turn me normal and I couldn't handle it. It would be bad for my career.
You'd have a reverse thing.
Reverse Weird Al.
So that's a thing. You can have that. I found that on the internet. I've had a reverse Weird Al.
Have you?
You would not like it.
Oh.
I, on the other hand, loved it.
Oh.
That makes it the reverse Weird Al. So let me ask you this. Well, you started playing the accordion when you were a kid, right? Because you just like the accordions. I got to tell you, by the way, when you were at my house in Scotland, remember we found that old accordion?
Like in your attic or your basement or something?
The basement.
The basement, yeah.
Well, we call it the crypt.
The crypt.
Right? We don't just call it the crypt. It's a crypt.
Yes.
Right. So we found that old accordion down there, which I thought was amazing. It was like 2 days before you arrived. And then you were looking at this old, which I still have. I think it's kind of dead, this accordion. But
have you been practicing?
No. I got to be honest. I don't. I drum. But the ghosts play the accordion.
Ah.
But the thing is about it, I don't know if I ever told you this. The night we had a little Kaylee, a little Scottish dance at the house, and the accordion and fiddle player were there, when you came in and played the accordion with those guys, it was like Elvis had arrived. That's fucking Weird Al. What the fuck is happening? Because they're in this fucking rural part of Scotland. And they play accordions, so they know who you are.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh my God, it's like, it was so fucking weird. And they were just, I just got
to
say, you made their entire year.
Nice
they were very grateful.
That's nice to hear.
And it was pretty good. You were your fingers were walking.
Yeah, I can figure pretty well.
Yeah, you can. And that's part of the reverse Weird Al,
there you go.
I believe. There you go. So when you're in this world of you know, kind of comedy songs. This is kind of a niche world. I got to be honest with you, comedy songs never really did it for me until I listened to you. I don't really.
Who are you listening to before?
When I think about it, I think I don't know if I've ever heard any comedy songs except for you. I mean, like,
really?
So, well, I guess somebody does. I mean, they just I haven't remembered any.
Well, so in Scotland, who would have been the comedy songs?
Well, anyone in the UK. Oh, you know what? Neil Innes.
Okay, yeah.
Neil Innes was a goddamn genius.
Oh yes, love Neil.
Did you know him?
Not well. I went to see him at McCabe's Guitar Shop. I went with Emo Phillips. We went to see him perform.
Right.
Got to hang out with him for a little bit. So I didn't really know him, but always been a huge fan.
Before Spinal Tap, he and Eric Idle did the Ruttles, which was a Beatles pastiche.
Perfect.
Which was amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah, really. I still listen to. I must tell Eric this. I still listen to the Ruttles. As just like listening to it.
Yeah.
They're
like Beatles songs to me.
Yeah, they are like Beatles songs. Yeah. It's like finding new Beatles songs from different eras. It's amazing. The cheese and onions.
I was just going to say cheese and onions.
Cheese.
Every time I have something with cheese and onions, I start singing Ruttles in my
time
head.
Time goes by, so that's the name. Cheese and onions.
C-H-E-S-E-O-N-O.
Oh, no. Spell out C-H-E-E-Z-E-A-N-D. Oh, my God. It's great stuff.
Yeah.
I always thought, my rule forever doing comedy, if I was ever going to parody something, I always thought you have to be at least as good as what you're parodying, mm-hmm. or you're going to look like an idiot.
Right.
Is that something that...
We try.
No,
you know,
for sure.
We try to copy it. And, you know, I've had the same band for over 40 years, and they're all amazing musicians. It's kind of, I probably shouldn't say this, but sometimes when we're like doing like a parody and we're trying to copy the original track, sometimes my drummer will say, do you want me to play it exactly like they played it or correctly?
Yeah, better. Yeah. I think that's interesting. So you do that, you know, when you do the songs, but on tour, you do a whole set which is not parody songs, right?
We did that for two tours. We did the Ridiculously Ill-Advised Vanity Tour and then the Unfortunate Return of the Ridiculous Ill-Advised Vanity Tour. And that was mostly for the hardcore fans because we didn't do really any parodies and it didn't have any props or costumes. It was just very, you know, low-key and kind of intimate. But I love doing that because we got to just be musicians and not put on this big, you know, show.
Yeah.
And do all the, you know, all the B-sides and all the deep cuts. And I love doing that and the band loved doing that. And for the people that showed up, again, we're doing smaller theaters,
right, yeah,
but they were so excited to hear some like random obscure track from the fourth album that they never thought they'd ever hear live.
Well, but with that, there was recently in the last like 4 or 5 years, you got like a big Grammy win. Remember? I'm sure you do remember.
Yeah.
Was that for parody songs or was that for the...
Well, the last Grammy I got actually was as an art director, oddly enough.
When was this?
Because I had a box set. It was like my entire catalog, but it was boxed in a replica of my accordion. It was
This is architecture right here. This is the reach around
full circle.
Part of the show.
The reach around part.
Yeah, the reverse Weird Al. That's what I'm saying. It's like... That, so the architecture actually comes into play.
Yeah, I mean, there's some design that I guess I kind of gleaned from college. You know, the whole 4 years weren't a complete waste.
No, not at all.
I can still print very neatly.
Yeah, and also you want a Grammy for designing a building made of records. Let's just call it that.
Okay.
Let's call it that. Now, you mentioned the name of a comedian. I want to talk to you about him because he's a very, very interesting comedian, a gentleman by the name of Emo Phillips.
Yes.
And you and Emo are friends,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know. I don't think I've ever met Emo Phillips.
You haven't?
No, but I remember seeing him. My first ever trip to the United States. Well, actually, it wasn't even to the United States. My first trip to Just for Last festival in Montreal in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to see Emo and Judy Tenuta, God rest her. And they were crazy different. They were very different to anything else that was going on.
Yeah.
How did you guys hook up?
I assume you mean how do we meet?
Yeah, that's right. Well, we hooked up. And,
you're being dirty,
Al. Stop it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell Suzanne.
No, we'd been kind of bumping into each other since, you know, the early 80s because we were both 80s weirdos. And of course, you know,
right.
our paths are going to intersect. I don't know. We just, we were mutual fans and we just, you know, wound up hanging out together.
Does he tour with you and stuff like that?
Yeah, well, for the two Vanity tours, he did. So he's done over 200 shows with me.
Is he a musician?
No, he does his regular stand-up.
He goes out and does the...
Yeah.
Oh, I think. Does he still do that?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you know, that's very interesting.
No, he's like the funniest guy in the world. He's just, you should have him on the show sometime.
I would love to talk to him. Here's what I think, that, and then correct me if I'm wrong, but sometimes when someone has a very recognizable character mm-hmm. that they do on stage, because unless, does Emo Phillips walk around talking like that all the time?
No, I mean, you know, it's like you can hear that in his voice a little bit.
Right, but it's an exaggerated version.
And I think he's very concerned about his public persona because he's one of those people that kind of hopes that people think he's like that all the time.
You know, because he's
very much into like presenting an image. In fact, he was kind of giving me advice like back in 98, 99, back when I had my look changed where I shaved out the mustache.
But you got super handsome.
But he was like very concerned. He was like, he wanted me to do the Drew Carey thing. He was like, you know, people want to see the iconic image. They want to see the mustache and glasses. And
right.
I think he was trying to talk me into just like always wearing fake glasses. And I kind of wanted to keep it real.
It's a fair point. I mean, if you look at, you know, the Homer Simpson silhouette or something like that. If you create a something like that.
I mean, he kept bringing up Groucho. Like, Groucho always had the mustache, you know.
Until he did the game show.
Didn't he still, you think he still had it for that, didn't he?
Did he? Did he paint on the mustache for the game show?
He was painting it on for the longest time, but he definitely had a mustache for the game show.
Well, were you a fan of the Marx Brothers?
Sure.
Oh my God, I loved that.
Yeah.
What's that movie? I think it might be Horse Feathers. I don't know. It's the one where they have the horse.
Sounds like it might be.
Yeah, they have the horse in the dental surgery.
What's the one where they had the duck soup? Which one was that?
I think that's duck soup. Okay. And when they went to that opera at night, what was that one called?
I think it was like...
As a Day of the Races? But I was a huge... The anarchy of that, the kind of terrifying out-of-controlness, it's interesting because when I was a kid... I really didn't like the Cat in the Hat.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like
it. Did it frighten you?
It did. Because the Cat in the Hat used to come to the house and he would do all these naughty things and the parents were out. And I'm like,
it's horrifying. That's a home invasion.
Yeah, it's this weird fucking cat that's coming in the house with a hat on and he's getting the kids to do bad things. This guy's evil.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I love the Marx Brothers and that sense of anarchy. I think their charm was much more acceptable to me as a five-year-old.
No, they're making fun of Margaret Dumont. They're not making fun of two little innocent kids alone in their house.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
That's it. They're making fun of the adult figure, not the kid figure. You're right. Oh, thanks, Al.
Sure.
Have you had therapy? You out there.
I don't know, but I look at this as therapy.
Yeah, well, I think that you're very good at it. I think, here's what I think. Screw what Emo says.
Okay.
Get a pipe, tweed jacket, I'm thinking a vague whiff of an Austrian accent and become a therapist when you're not on the road.
Ooh, can I get one of those jackets with patches on the elbows?
I would almost insist on it.
Okay.
And then lie down, or you could go and drag and be like Lorraine Bracco in The Sopranos.
Ooh.
That's also...
Very nice.
Yeah. Have you ever had therapy?
No.
Oh, man, it's awesome. I had a therapist who used to wear... She was fantastic. She used to wear all the same clothes, the same color. Like, she would wear green shoes, green tights, a green... skirt, a green blouse, and she would wear green eyeshadow, and if it was green that day, and I think
was her office like a big green screen or something?
It might.
I was in chroma key.
I was in pretty bad. Oh, chroma key, nice. I was in a bad shape then, so maybe that was that. Maybe it never happened at all.
Did she look like just two disembodied eyes looking at you?
Yeah, that was. I think about it. I'm having a flashback. So you're going along and you're being Weird Al. And then what happened in the 90s that caused the change? Was there any kind of personal thing?
Change for what?
Well, the taking the glasses off.
At that point, the technology and science and medicine had gotten to the point where it felt like I wasn't taking my life into my hands by letting somebody like shoot lasers into my eyeball. And I thought, you know, if I can like see, you know.
I had LASIK as well in the 90s, by the way.
Did you?
Right about that time. Yeah. Did you get it again?
No, I think they kind of said you could get it again, but maybe a little bit more dangerous the second time around.
Oh, I don't want to hear that. Yeah. So I'm never getting it done again.
So I still wear glasses sometimes when I want to see distances because my eyes continue to change since like 1990.
Yeah, mine too. Yeah. But also as a disguise, do you wear glasses with maybe a nose and a mustache attached to them?
I'm wearing one right now.
Oh my God.
But you still knew it was me.
It's Emo Phillips. So The idea then, was it, so what I wanted to find out, was there a creative decision? Was that, is that when you met Suzanne? Is that, was that something that happened then? What happened?
I didn't do it specifically to meet Suzanne, but it worked out that way.
You're right.
It
so you got rid way. Of the glasses and Suzanne said,
and very quickly, like
why?
All of a sudden women are like, who's this?
And she's like, why, Al, you're beautiful.
Before, I thought you were Clark Kent, but you're really Superman.
Yeah, my God. How did you guys meet? I know she told me, is this true? It was a blind date?
It was, correct.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. So what, do you know, set you up?
Do you know Billy Mumy?
The name rings a bell, actually.
He was like the biggest child actor when I was a child. He played little Will Robinson on Lost in Space.
Of course I know who it is.
To give you his whole IMDb, but look him up. But, you know, I've been fans of his for a long time. And he was half of Barnes & Barnes, who did Fish Heads. Do you know that song?
Fish Heads, yes. Lovely, lovely Fish Heads, so, Fish Heads.
Eat them up, yum. That's it. So I met him on the Dr. Demento show because he was Fish Heads was a big hit on Demento. But he never introduced himself as Bill Mumy. He was always Art Barnes, like Art and Artie Barnes. And I'm gullible. I believed I didn't recognize him from like being a kid.
Wait a minute. I got to stop you. Is Emo Phillips his real name?
I feel like I'd be talking out of school to answer that question.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay.
All right. So you know this Will Robinson, Danger Will Robinson, Art Barnes.
So he invites me to his house. I'm at his house on the Hollywood Hills. I forget, we're recording something or hanging out or whatever. And I notice all this like Lost in Space memorabilia around the house. And I'm right. like, again, I'm so stupid. I'm like, this guy is super into Lost
really
in Space.
Likes this stuff.
He really,
yeah,
gosh,
yeah.
He's like, yeah. Big fan. He's got all these Billy Mumy movie posters on the wall. Man, this guy's a freak.
What's he's that? Like a super fan. He's like, uh-oh.
Obsessed.
We got a weirdie.
And then finally, after a long time, I figured out, oh, this is Bill Mumy. All
so right. He introduces you. He sets you up on a blind date with,
yeah,
Suzanne.
And he actually had been setting me up on blind dates before and setting Suzanne up on blind dates. And they didn't really work out, obviously.
Right.
But he called me up one day and said, I'm going to set you up on this date with this woman who works at 20th Century Fox. You have to marry her.
She's super clever, Suzanne.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like she's intimidatingly cool clever.
Yeah.
She's got that kind of Annie Leibovitz vibe. You know, that kind of, you know, do you know what I mean? Like kind of scary photography, clever, like sees the world slightly more than you do. That's how the vibe.
Oh, I was thinking of Franny Leibovitz. So I was thinking like, oh. Yeah, they're a little different.
Yeah. But she's smart,
she is.
Super clever woman.
Yeah. And she's the whole package, you know?
Yeah, she is. Yeah,
I waited a long time to find her.
Did you?
Well, here's the thing. You know, it was actually really romantic because this is in the days before social media as we know it today.
Right.
I didn't have a picture of her. I didn't have an idea what she looked like.
Right.
And we didn't have time to go out on a date for a few weeks because I was just about to put out a new album. She was working overtime at 20th Century Fox.
Right.
And we just couldn't find it time to get together. But we had time late at night, so we'd have these phone calls in the middle of the night that went on for hours.
Isn't this
hours.
A movie with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan?
It sounds like, right?
It should be.
It's
yeah.
a rom-com material. So that,
look, it's not too late.
Yeah.
They're both, Tom and Megan are both working.
Tom and Meg should get back together for the Weird Al
story.
I'm
going to call it Suzanne and Al.
Suzanne. Oh, I like that better.
Yeah, Suzanne and Al. Or do you guys have a mix-up name? Like, you know.
Oh, the hyphen at the portmanteau.
Sal, I guess. Suzanne
Sal,
and Al or
Sal?
Suzal?
Suzal?
Suzal or Alsus or Alsace?
The Yankovics.
Oh, yeah, that'll work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit patriarchal, but I'll take it. What is that? Is that Polish Yankovic?
It's, what is it? Yugoslavian, back when that was a country?
All right, so you have to break it down, though, man, because the Yugoslavian, that was just like a construct after that.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm not 100% sure, but I think I'm Slovenian, like me and Melania.
Oh, yeah, I get that. You look a bit like
thank
her.
You, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. Symbiotica.com.
Did you ever do the White House correspondence thing or
no,
one of the big political things?
I was
there?
Not asked to do that.
They
could use some accordion there, I think.
I feel like that would be a good bet because you're pretty good at like straddling the line of, you know, not getting too political.
Or I could just like be playing like mood music behind the president's speech, you know, just a little
bit of accordion.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, don't take this the wrong way, buddy, but they might think it's a little French.
Oh.
You know,
are we still doing the French thing?
Well,
the Freedom Fries deal?
Freedom Fries. Do you know, once I swear this is true, I was in a diner in, I think it was Arkansas. I was on the road. You know how sometimes when you're on the road, you're like, I can't take another, you know, fucking Starbucks or, you know, we got to go to somewhere else. And we went to this diner. It was during all the Freedom Fries thing.
Yeah.
And I go to the bathroom and there were contraceptives and sex toys.
Just on the floor?
No. They were in my pocket.
Okay.
There was a, you know, one of those
vending
machines that sells contraceptives and little sex toys. And they'd scored
out. That's where I get all mine.
They'd scored out. I have to say, as bad as my life got, I never bought a sex toy in a public bathroom from a vending machine. Yet.
Not the ones that say, just for show, not for go.
But they had French ticklers.
Yes.
But they had taken out, and they'd called them freedom ticklers.
Ah! That's the best.
The freedom ticklers.
That's the best.
Oh, you want a little freedom tickler?
Oh, freedom tickler.
Look, I don't want to do this, but it's for America. It's freedom tickers.
That's great.
It was fantastic.
Oh man.
So you and Suzanne, you can't get it together. Well, you can get it together, obviously, because you have a child, but you can't meet each other because you're so busy in your hectic show business lifestyle.
Yeah, so we basically fell in love over the phone.
That true?
Yeah, pretty. I mean, because I remember thinking, like, I kind of hope she's, I mean, I would marry her if she's homely, but I kind of hope she's cute because I'm going to marry this person. So
really?
I never saw her face until I opened the door to her first date.
That's fantastic and kind of beautiful. And I feel like it's probably a show on, isn't that like Love at First Sight or, you know, Naked Attraction?
One
or
of those. We were the first reality show.
Have you ever seen that show, Naked Attraction?
No.
No, you should not. It's a show in Channel 4 in the UK, right?
Uh-huh.
Which is kind of like the, it's pretty bad. But in the show, this Naked Attraction, what they do is they have these screens. It's Britain, so they don't care about nudity. And they have these screens and they start at the bottom. So the person who's choosing a partner, these curtains come up and you see their feet and then their knees and then their legs and you think it's going to be Naked. And then the curtain keeps going and you see their junk, male or female. You see, and like harsh lighting, real people junk, not Hollywood airbrush junk, like shockingly unpleasant.
This is a real thing.
It's a real thing. And it keeps going. And it's not titillating at all. It's awful.
No.
But I caught my youngest son watching it with his buddy, and they're like 10-year-old boys, and I was like, "What the hell are you doing?" And they were traumatized. I'm like, "Oh my god, this is horrible!" I was like, "Watch it all you like, kids."
I just remember back in the day, like when I was a teenager, you couldn't find like naked people on TV.
No.
It was like a big deal that there was like some show on PBS, I think Steam Bath or something like that.
Nice.
And it was like, "Oh, there's a shot of a woman in the shower; she's naked."
Yeah.
And every single teenage boy in my whole high school was like watching PBS. Public broadcasting.
To see a naked lady.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember we used to, for some reason, I don't know why, but in Scotland when I was a kid, you would sometimes find torn up pieces of pornographic magazines in the street.
Oh, rude. Leave the whole thing. Pay it forward.
I don't know why. But occasionally you see some ripped up picture of some.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's more traumatic. Like then you can only get excited when you see ripped up women. So you don't want that.
Yeah, that's very dark. That's bad. That's very dark. So you meet Suzanne. The first that you open the door, she comes to your house? Is that what happens?
I went to her place.
All right. So she opens the door and you're like, oh, sweet. She's gorgeous. Yep. I'm already in love with her.
Yep.
So how long until you get married?
I wonder that. That was 99. So I think it was, we met sometime in, I think, July 99. We got married February 2001. So, you know, the standard year and a half.
Yeah. And that's, now, let me ask you this then. Was this before you had done the Hatfield Metallica image change or after?
It was right after. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there was a plan, apparently.
Folksy Al Yankovic appears on the door. I get it.
Yeah. And she didn't, you know, originally when Bill Mumy pitched her on the idea of going out with me, she was like, I don't know. But she gave me the benefit of the doubt because she said, well, maybe he's not like that all the time.
But you're awesome. I think that's... Now, we have a mutual friend and who introduced us, I guess, socially, is Tom Lennon.
Yes.
Now, Tom has been a huge... In Britain, they would call them eccentrics. It's like you, emo, Tom. Tom, extremely gifted performers who march to the beat of their own drum.
Yes.
And I wonder if that kind of thing is encouraged by social media, if there's more of that, or if there's less of it because people are frightened of stepping outside the orthodoxy. Because you can get in a lot of trouble now.
I think weirdness is kind of encouraged on social media. People try to stand out. And if, as long as you don't do anything deemed cancelable, I think...
It changes every... I mean, look, I try to be cognizant of it. I try to be respectful that manners change. But it seems like they change very quickly. And there's not really a consensus on what's cancelable and what's not. Well, apart from the obvious. But the, you know, I don't know. Do you ever think about it? Do you ever worry about it?
Yeah. I mean, some, you know, I've been releasing records, you know, since the late 70s. So some of the, you know, I obviously tried not to be offensive or do anything that I thought would come back to haunt me later. But there's some language, there's some words that I used in the 80s and 90s, which, you know, are now considered slurs or offensive. So, you know, in fact, there's one song that I did on this last tour, which had an offensive word in it. And I sang the word and then the whole band stops and I have to explain, like, I wrote this in the 90s. I didn't mean any offense by it. Language is a fluid thing. But, you know,
can you give me, I'm not going to ask you to say the word, but can you give me a clue as to what the word is or what it pertains to?
I'll say it because I say it in concert. Right. It's hermaphrodite.
Is that a slur?
Well, it is, apparently. You know, I thought it was a medical
well, that's
exactly,
description.
That's exactly how I explained it, in my apology, that, you know, when I wrote it in the 90s, I thought, okay, this is a technical medical term, and this is, you know, the person in my hypothetical story happens to be one.
Right.
And apparently that word is considered a slur nowadays, which obviously was not my intention. Yeah.
Look, I'll be honest, it's not a word I use often, but I had no idea that... And it, you know, I can see why you would use it because it clearly it rhymes with stuff.
And you know, because language changes. I mean, even the word lame, you know, which is in common usage. And, you know, I haven't stopped saying that. But I mean, the point has been made like, oh, that's an ableist term. Like, okay, I can see that. But it's such a common. And there's another word that I used. And I won't say this word, but it's a word that both Beyonce and Lizzo got in trouble for.
Mm.
It rhymes with plastic. You know what I'm... And begins with an SP.
Oh, gosh, yeah, right, yeah. Okay.
So,
yeah.
And, you know, in North America, that's just considered like a goofy, you know...
Yes.
...kind of person, but in other parts of the world, it's considered a horrible slur.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that the word you're talking about, when I was a kid growing up, it was used to, in medical terms... to describe, or like, if someone was going to a school for people that suffered from disabilities or had disabilities, they would be called that.
Yeah.
And it would be on the sign on the school.
Yeah.
And it's not that I have any objection to language change, and it does change. But I think what I feel like there is a great deal of legitimacy in the changing of the language, but I also feel there's a lot of people out there on the balls of their feet just waiting to be offended when there's no genuine harm meant by it.
Yeah.
And I think that, that's counterproductive to making a society more inclusive and less oppressive to people who aren't having it as easy as the rest of us.
Yeah. I mean, I try my best. I'm trying very hard not to offend, but there's boundaries and there's lines.
I don't think it's possible to do comedy and not offend.
You really think that?
I really do. I don't mean that you have to be offensive.
Yeah.
I mean that.
Well, somebody's always going to find something.
Exactly. That's what I mean. I don't think you have to. Look, I've become more and more. I used to like be really, you know, the F word in the act and all that kind of stuff. And it was quite raw and harsh stuff. And that was the way that I came out. I mean, look, I was a comedian going on between punk rock acts in the late 1970s, early 1980s. I mean, it was appropriate for the time. But now, if I go out and pretend to be angry about things, like, I'm not angry, I'm a little chubby, I've got a nice car, you know, I'm not that angry.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, maybe, I don't know if you had the same kind of experience, but I found that I'm sometimes reluctant to do anything ironic on social media because no matter how obvious it is that you're making a joke and you're known, you know, as a, you know, somebody who makes jokes for a living, there's going to be a certain percentage of the people reading that going, oh, he really does that. He really is serious about that.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I the example I used, I wrote a book a couple of years ago, and in it I was writing about my sexual awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And the phrase I used to describe the first inklings of sexual awakening was, all women in Scotland were called Margaret before 1974. Now, what I meant by that, the literary construct there is, everything was just my Auntie Margaret. But, and then when you start going into puberty, suddenly not all women are your Auntie Margaret and there are, you know, and things are different. I didn't mean all women in Scotland were called Margaret. That's very few women in Scotland are called Margaret at any given time.
Well, was somebody fact-checking your book going like, actually?
Well, I left the line in the book, but somebody did say to me during the editing process, nah, that's not true. And I'm like, yeah, it's language. It's, you know, it's a mood.
Artistic license. It's, you know,
it's weird. It's a. I don't know if we. I struggle with the idea of taking everybody else's opinion into what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to offend people. I know you don't.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I kind of like. Ricky Gervais has a very nice line about it. It's just like, look, just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right. It just means you're offended, you know. And I think that's the bottom line of it, that I don't want to offend you, but if you are offended...
I think Ricky might actually like to offend people, though.
Oh, no, he loves offended people. He loves it. Yeah. But that's it. Do you know Ricky?
No, not personally.
It's funny. He's the sweetest guy.
Is he?
Yeah, it's the strangest thing because he has that... Did you ever meet Don Rickles?
No. No, almost.
That's a shame. Rickles, I became friendly with Rickles, and he was very, very sweet, like an old grandpa, and very nice. And,
oh, yeah. Famously a nice guy.
Right. And of course, his act was extremely abrasive, and they would set him on fire for it now. I mean, it's just terrible.
Oh, yeah.
It would not fit.
And, no.
You know what? And rightly so. You have to move on from that. But, but he as a man would be horrified if he thought he was hurting someone's feelings.
Yeah.
And it's... you don't set out to hurt someone's feelings. And if you can avoid it and do comedy, I think that's great. But I honestly think, I don't think you can.
Like, you don't go to a roast and then go home going, they all hated me.
Yeah, they were mean to. Have you ever been roasted?
No, I don't think so. But then age young.
It's got to be common.
Yeah.
It's got to be common. I never really understood that, to be honest.
The whole concept of roast?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't like this. I mean, honestly, I don't. It's like, I asked to do a couple. I like, they asked me to do Bob Saget's roast.
Uh-huh.
And I loved Bob.
Yeah.
I was like, no. And Bob was like, nah, you come and you say these mean things about me. Like, Bob, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I love you, Bob. I'm not going to do it. It's like, it's joking. I went, no, Bob, it's mean. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, sometimes I think you're a dick, but no one else needs to say that. Did you know Bob?
I met him a couple times.
Yeah, he's a sweet man.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was, again, someone who was very different to... his act.
Yeah. I was reading recently that Chevy Chase was really upset after his roast because he really thought they weren't joking.
Well, you know, with his reputation, I think maybe they weren't joking. I don't know if they were or they weren't, but it's a strange thing. So what's going on with you now? What's happening?
Things are slow. Yeah. I'm not touring probably for at least another year, year and a half.
Right.
Just kind of letting the ground lay fallow for a bit.
Seven years of plenty, seven years of famine.
Yeah, so next year actually is a huge question mark. I'm not sure.
You want to come to Scotland and hang out for a while?
Maybe. Yeah, we'll see.
Come and hang out.
I know you got a new castle. Got to check it out.
But yeah, it's not a new castle. It's new to me.
New to you.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
Yeah, and also, there is this myth that I live in a castle, Al. It's not a castle. It's a house that looks a bit like a castle.
Huge and made out of stone.
And
it's got a moat around it.
Well, yeah, but look, these are technicalities.
Yes.
Look, you're an architect, Al, famously so. I didn't realize that. I feel
bad. It's not a condo. Come on.
It's not a condo. You don't live in a condo either, though.
No.
Let's see. Are you a big union guy?
I believe in it.
I believe in it. Yeah, I'm just thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I support the unions. I'm in several of them, and yeah, absolutely.
How many are you in? I'm SAG, WGA and DGA. Is that you?
Yeah.
And Musicians Union as well for you, right?
That as well, yeah.
Yeah. They're a great union, the MU.
Yeah.
They like saved you guys.
Do you remember, maybe it was different for you, I remember auditioning to get, you had to audition to get in the Musicians Union?
No, for me it was equity, British Actors Equity. It was so hard to get in that you had to, the only reason I started doing stand-up, because you had to have some gigs that where you were a performer, but you couldn't get gigs unless you were a member of British Actors Equity.
Okay.
So the only thing that was open was you could maybe get a couple of gigs as a stand-up in a nightclub or something like that. Then you had to take it along to the union office. And if you got three, they would let you in the union. I got two, and they offered me a TV show. And so I had to join the union.
Oh, yeah.
In Scotland. But it was different back then, though, I guess. Did you play the accordion?
Yeah, and I have just the vaguest memory of this, but I mean, in the early 80s, when I first joined the Musicians Union, I have a memory of coming into the union offices and all these people with instruments, and they had to like play like 30 seconds
prove,
oh, you are a guitar player. Oh, you are, or whatever. And I just remember there was one guy that was a drummer, and he just came in, didn't have anything with him. And they said, just slap on your knees. And he did like a little... Okay, you're a drummer. Great. Okay, sign the papers.
You know what? If he was a real drummer, he'd have been doing that on the way in. Right. They never stop. Never stop. I still have a drum kit in the house. I still like it.
You play?
I mean, I do. I still play, and I still when I listen to music, particularly bands that are, you know, rock and roll bands and stuff, I tend to, you know, your ear tends to go to where you're interested
yeah.
in. And that's what I look for. And even to the point of, I will listen to music that I don't like because I know the drumming's good.
Do you ever have like jam sessions at your house, or does Liam play?
Yeah, Liam does play. Liam plays guitar. He's good too. And he became fascinated with it. And yeah, we kind of mess around the house. Katie Tunstall is a friend of mine.
So
Katie was at the house in Scotland, and Liam's first jam session was me playing drums and Katie playing the bass.
Oh,
and he was
great.
Playing the guitar.
That's so cool.
It was that old Ting Ting song, I think.
Yeah,
doing, yeah. Or some Velvet Underground song or something. And it was fun. It was fun. And it was my life. And then I just fell into a different thing.
Yeah.
You know?
My daughter, we both really like Katie, but she was very much into, I forget what the album was, but it was during the period of time when my daughter played the bass for like 3 days.
Right.
Like we've had literally every instrument in the house at some point or another, thinking that she was going to pick, you know, I gave her accordion lessons. She's had like everything. And now she's in college. She's playing the harp, which is literally the only instrument we did not have.
That's an awesome instrument.
But she used to play Katie Tunstall songs on the bass for a week.
Katie's great. And she is, she's got a crazy story. I mean, she's a really interesting person. And she's a real kind of, she's like you. She's like a real musician. She's a real proper, there's nothing else going on. She's a musician.
Yeah.
And she's a super talented person. Anyway, that's enough about
okay.
Al, it's always a pleasure. I love you. Love you long time. My love to Suzanne.
Love you, man.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth, no matter who you are, that mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bizzle Fuma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.